Boom!
It's been listening to you guys sound test for the last 30 seconds.
Well, here we are. Do we know what episode this is? Are we on 27?
I think 27.
Someone should look that up.
27.
No?
Jamie, can you pull that up?
Yeah, can you pull that up? Well, we're back here at the home of the podcast, Broken Strings Brewing. We've got a very special guest with us today.
Special in a certain way.
Mr. Andrew Gazinski, which, to be honest, him and I were like, we started talking about this podcast with you before we ever started doing it.
Yeah.
And we did a couple of dry runs just chilling in the garage with, what was it, QuickTime Video or whatever it was?
Oh.
Yeah. GarageBand.
A mashed potato, actually.
Yeah, it was awful. We had a few dry runs of it. They were fun. Just an excuse to get drunk in my garage and smoke cigars, I guess.
Good old Fit the Fat and the Opinionated.
Yeah, that's what it was. The Fit the Fat and the Opinionated.
Yeah.
Bitch can't guess which one I was.
Oh, man.
Use the fit one.
Anyway, well, we got a pretty solid. You're the worst. We got a solid podcast coming up for you today. We got a couple of good beers. We're four different ones drinking. So we'll start with you. What do you got over there, big guy?
Yeah, I'm drinking the Sexual Manatee. It's a Berliner Weiss. Passion fruit, blackberries, vanilla, and milk sugar.
That's from Hidden Springs.
Yeah. Hidden Springs Ale Works.
They always got some of the best can art, I think.
They really do.
In the biz.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, it's excellent. You can actually peel these off.
Yeah, stick them on somewhere. I like it when you can do that with beers. I think all four of ours do that. Yeah. What do you got over there, Ty, if you can hear yourself?
I'm going to have to snag this real quick. Ivanhoe Park Brewing S'mores Imperial Stout. You know, 10%, one to keep it light. I got to go to work later.
What's the flavor profile on that? Is it s'more-y, or you get more chocolate? You get the marshmallows? What's going on?
It tastes like steak. No, it tastes like s'mores. For
just
sure.
Make it, you know, some. I've had a lot of s'mores beers where they miss out on, like.
It's malty. It's right. Like malty s'mores. Which usually I'm not a huge fan of malt, but this is pretty good. This is pretty good.
Nice. Are you catching the mallow?
The mallow?
The mallow. The marshmallow.
Oh, yeah.
That's the freaking scene from Sandlot right there.
Goddamn.
Freaking metal. What do you got over there, big guy?
Sipping on the Dad Bod Double IPA from Dewclaw. It's a soft-bellied blend of tropical pine and citrus hop flavors. It's like a cuddle for your taste buds. Mm-hmm. So raise an above-average glass to loving thyself. Cheers.
To be honest, that's my favorite IPA ever. Last year was the first time I had it, and I probably drank like 15 of them in a week. They're so good.
I can draw some comparisons, yeah.
It's good, right?
Yeah.
It's tasty.
It's not bad. And I look just like the dude on the fucking can.
Yeah, because you can almost see your belly button.
I think his belly button's a little bit better looking than yours.
Well, mine has a lot of lint and shit in it, so there's that. I'm rocking the D9 liquid metal Maibock with raisins in it. It's pretty good. If you've ever had 6-point resin, it's pretty much just like an 8% version of that.
There's actually raisins in it?
They used it in the recipe, yeah. Oh. Do you want to try it?
No, it's okay.
Haven't taken a sip yet, I had three of them yesterday, so we're good. Speaking of beer, we are back at our home at Broken Strings.
Oh, yeah.
And we've got a lot of exciting things happening within the next week here. Two weeks, actually.
As long as we crank this one out. They got some releases coming out next week, right?
Right. And we actually still have some of our last stout release, which is a raspberry jelly donut and chocolate peanut butter. The chocolate peanut butters are, both of them are flying off the shelves, but the peanut butter we're almost out of.
Okay.
Ended up pretty good. You guys actually got to try that.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, I think my favorite part is the saltiness of the peanuts inside the mix. You don't really get that. Normally it's like a sweeter, almost diabetic feel to it, but this one kind of, I mean, it's still very sweet because it's part of our sugared stout gang, but I like how the roasted salty peanuts really kind of.
Gotta love salted nuts.
Gotta love the salted nuts. And then the raspberry jelly donut, also very tasty. I think next week we got our Black is Beautiful collaboration going out. That's the blackberry with chocolate. And we're putting our Tribe Called Hops in a can for that release. And then we also have a week after that, we got a cotton candy sour, grape sour, which I think you guys have had before.
I don't remember trying that one.
I think.
That sounds interesting.
You had it and you really liked it. Yeah, we had it on tap like 5 months or last year. No, 5 months ago.
I think it's got a lot of good flavor to it. It's definitely got a lot of flavor to it. A lot of sweet flavor to it.
Yeah.
It's got a really good color to it, if I remember right.
Yeah, we got like, I walked in here one day and there was like 12 cases of cotton candy grapes ready to rock and roll because they hit in season. So
okay.
It's kettling right now. We're about to boil it off. tomorrow. Nice. So it should be ready by next week. That's going to be a really good one.
Okay.
You guys are open at... Are you guys open over there at Earl's yet?
Yeah. Yeah, we've been open doing just about full hours.
You're getting what, high top tables?
No.
No?
No, I don't like to take tables.
No, you're just leave that for the peasants. No,
there's a fine select few bartenders that like elect to take tables, and I mean, hats off to them, but I am most certainly not one of
them. Can people sit at your bar?
Nope.
Nope, you're just
making bar seats right now.
You're just making drinks.
Just doing service drinks for a really high tip out, which is amazing right now.
You can't beat that, to be honest.
You really can't. The screen doesn't argue.
No.
No.
It doesn't.
You just bump your drinks, and that's it.
And the best part about
you never hear from them again.
The best part about your situation is you have that screen. Yeah. It's bittersweet, because when you're busy, when you have a full bar, and you don't have that printer, you can't hear what's going on, so you don't have, like, sometimes you get lost in the sauce a little bit, trying to please everybody, and then you turn around, and your screen has, like, 6 pages deep. That's happened to me a time or two.
It does certainly happen sometimes, but, hey, I mean, now, like you said, now that I'm just doing service bartending for the restaurant, it's... smooth sailing.
Yeah.
You're just on a shift by yourself. It's just you.
I'm sure it makes your inventory Mondays a lot easier, too.
Usually does, yeah. Because our business is kind of not at full volume because the mall that we're next to is closing at 7 p.m. every night, I think.
I didn't even know it was open.
Yeah.
Who's going to the mall?
People who are locked up and pent up in their houses, yeah.
Terrorists?
Tourists.
Terrorists.
Tourists.
Ooh.
Tourists.
You know.
Economic terrorists.
The few that are here. The 1% of the 99% that are usually here.
I had... we've been rocking 6 days a week here at the brewery. It's been pretty slow this week because we didn't have a release, but I think probably half of the people that walked in were all from Texas, or we had... was it like 4 people from Texas? A lot of people from South Florida or North Florida coming in to Orlando to hang out. I guess. Yeah. I don't know what else they're doing here.
Dirt cheap hotel rooms. Yeah, why not?
Oh, yeah. Insane. Yeah.
Dirt cheap flights, too. $27 round trip.
Oh, yeah.
Freaking, we booked our... I have to go to New York next month.
For what?
A wedding.
That sounds like a terrible idea.
It's in outskirts. It's nowhere near the city, so...
It's in a park. They're going to stay 6 feet apart. You know, everybody's going to have a cubicle to quarantine themselves. It'll be really unquaint.
Big plexiglass cubicles.
Yes. I was going to say, we actually got the soccer mom zip in, like, it's got a big, huge piece of plastic so you can kind of see out, and a chair with a cup holder. So we got those for the wedding. It's going to be nice.
They rented out a mirror maze from a carnival, and they're just going to all, have their own little squares to get lost
in. It's going to work out.
It works.
It's going to work out. But, Ashley and I got round trip tickets for both of us for $65.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, that's the only unfortunate part. We have to fly into JFK, which, and then drive 3 hours to go to where we're going to stay. But flights are dirt cheap right now.
I mean,
now.
Dude, that's way better considering I got between two podunk, airports, relatively speaking, to that. Went from St. Pete to South Bend, and it was still had to pay $90. But it was, direct flight, whatever. Beats 200.
3-4 months ago, when friend of the podcast, Charles, moved up to do his 6 months in Cape Cod, where he lives on a private compound up there.
Brutal place to live.
Dude, I flew back from Massachusetts to Fort Lauderdale, and my flight was $17 after taxes. On JetBlue, and that it was supposed to be a meal, but it was just a snack because of... COVID, I guess. And
a meal.
Huh? No. Huh? A meal's down for the count right now. It was just a snack. And then you had your own screen and then live TV and all sorts of crazy shit. So I was like, damn, $17, I'm getting treated like a king right now with my Cheez-Its and mini water bottle.
Dude, my Allegiant fees were more than that.
Right? Yeah. It's insane. Speaking of insane, you pulled up a crazy stat about a cocktail, which is definitely your arena.
Not so much as a cocktail, just as like a historical piece of
factoid
info. Yeah.
Yeah.
That I didn't know this. Mountain Dew was actually invented as a mixer for whiskey when it was first invented.
It makes sense.
Back in like the 40s by the Hartman brothers in Tennessee. And Charles here at Broken Strings definitely pointed out that it's not the same sugary soda than it is today.
It was a little more like 7-Up, but...
Yeah, it was a little more of just a carbonated kind of lemon-lime mixer, almost like a really, really light or sour mix is what I would imagine. It's carbonated.
You've had it, right?
What?
The mix? You've mixed the two together? Whiskey and Mountain Dew?
Oh, yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah.
I hate, like, I cut back on soda big time to where I almost never drink it.
Yeah?
But somebody handed it to me once, and I was like, this is fucking incredible. It's one of the best things I've ever had.
Just that little bit of Mountain Dew, just like splashed over some whiskey on the rocks or something, gives it all kinds of like sweet candy flavors in there, and all the caramelization comes out.
Yeah, you get a more malty flavor, and it's so weird, but it's so freaking good.
Yep. I know a buddy of mine back in like high school days, he would just like spike a bottle of Mountain Dew with a little bit of whiskey and... Or not a little bit, but probably like a good half and half.
I was
going to
say, wait, he's in high school, dude. It's probably like 60-40.
It's probably a good half and half, but like that was it. And it just tasted like, it's almost like caramel.
Yeah, it really kind of, it definitely don't get as the harsh afterburn of the whiskey at all.
No.
And the sugar flavor profile is very weird.
Yep.
Too bad we live in Coca-Cola's neighborhood. We can't really get it at a bar because most places have Pepsi. So, yeah.
That's what
or,
was
I mean, Coca-Cola.
That's what was good about Ale House, man. Pepsi. Pepsi products all day.
Yeah. I wonder what Harry Buffalo
had. Gators was Pepsi, too.
Minus that whole Pepsi
They
thing.
Were Pepsi.
Remember, yeah, you broke
yeah,
that
Yeah, remember
Pepsi
when you
machine.
Broke that Pepsi machine. Yeah.
Wasn't me, man.
You freaking
Wasn't
blamed
me.
It on me. Yep. Oh, man, the good old days.
Look at us here, like 6 years later.
Chilling.
You still got all the hair because you
it's
haven't
actually
cut it since. Yeah.
Five years and 3 months.
Okay.
Buffalo does use Pepsi.
Can yeah, they confirm. Do. Can confirm. Me too.
But it Pepsi. Also leads me into what we used to do as a cocktail at like high school parties.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is this the cocktail of the week?
Yeah.
Oh, man, we're doing it early. I'll take it.
Why not? We can jump in now with Drew's drink of the week.
Somebody of the four people that listen to this podcast as of right now, because we took such a big hiatus, we need to get like a song, an intro song into this. For his Drew's Cocktail of the Week situation. Yeah. What do you got? Is it Hoodcello?
No, it's not. Even though I did put another order for some.
Oh, man.
You know, just so I can have some at home in the freezer. Just for those special occasions.
Just in case you want to freaking hate yourself.
When you get one of these Florida thunderstorms and you just want to sit on the porch and just know that, yeah, this is fucking Florida. That's when you can drink a little bit of that.
You missed that. Hoodcello is beautiful.
It sounds like there's some limoncello in it.
It's limoncello made in the hood.
Oof.
And it comes
like,
in one of those...
It tastes like nail polish.
It really does taste like straight-up nail polish. It was the worst thing ever, and this guy just put
with
like
some lemon zest and essential oils.
Like, literally...
Well, yeah, you need the lemon in the limoncello.
What happened was is they took the lemon zest and put it on the side and then cut the rind with no flavor and dropped it into the freaking...
Oh, God, you get the bitterness.
Oh, it was awful. Nah. So what's this cocktail you got?
So this one, it was actually one from... Yeah, rap song back in the day, where we all just decided, we're going to try and make that. And we about all blacked out at this party, because it's a very good drink. So, 151 rum,
oof.
Malibu,
oof.
And then pineapple juice.
151, Malibu, and pineapple juice. What are we looking at as far as...
Like 1 ounce 151, 1 ounce rum, and 4 ounces pineapple juice.
For a total of 6 ounces of regret.
Hey, it was great.
Give it a try.
You don't even taste it. And then the 151 just blends in through the whole thing, gives it that little bit of kick that you don't realize is there until it's too late.
Gives it the alcohol that Malibu's missing.
Yep. Excellent. But it's tough to make now because 151 is extinct.
Is it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All gone?
They don't make it anymore.
I didn't know.
The only place you can find it is those weird bars that accidentally ordered an entire case, and now they still have 9 bottles sitting in the liquor room because nobody orders it anymore.
You know, not too long ago, which, if we don't mention her, then we really didn't do a podcast. But Rebecca Riddle came in to visit me.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember last time she was talking about she was making Palomas at home.
Yeah, well, she said that she's made almost every single one of the cocktails that you have mentioned on this podcast.
Nice.
Yes, she pays attention.
Beautiful.
And she says, you know, sometimes when I'm drunk, I feel like I should leave a voicemail or something. But I talk myself out of it. And I'm like, no, God,
do
please.
Every time.
Every single every time.
Yeah.
Anybody who listens to this, you have the ability to go onto the website. If you listen to it on the Anchor website, or which is, we have the link on our Facebook page. or you could go and do it on the actual app if you have the app. And if you leave us a message, we will definitely play it on the podcast. So please do. I think we've had a few commercials for that every now and again.
Yep. So the if you can find 151 and you do find a bar with 151, I have to mention that you should also do a Flaming Dr. Pepper shot.
Oh, those are not bad at all.
Those are fantastic.
Did you guys ever hear the Mitch Hedberg joke about the Flaming Dr. Pepper?
No.
It's just the whole gist of it was this dude's like livelihood was like him and his wife's failing marriage, but he's like, no, I've got to perfect this drink that tastes like Flaming Dr. Pepper and just leaves your mouth burnt.
Man. Rest in peace, Mitch Hedberg.
Golly.
Speaking of that, and comedians.
Before we go from this, I gotta tell Rebecca Riddle how to make this.
Do it.
So hopefully she can at home.
Yeah, go for it.
No, you just take three parts amaretto until one part 151 layered on the top. You put the 151 on the top, you light it on fire, and then you drop it into 1/3 of a pint glass full of beer. And then you just chug it. It tastes just like Dr. Pepper.
I'm in.
It's the craziest thing.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Just make sure the fire goes out when you drop the shot into the beer.
Yeah, if your beer gets lit on fire, you're it's a little too high in alcohol.
Oh, man. What is barley wine?
Yeah. Oh, man.
But no, hopefully she can make that one and enjoy it as well.
I think she can and
interesting
will.
Flavor combination.
Shout out to Rebecca and Chris.
It's one of the funnest parts about bartending.
Before I forget, so you and I have tickets to go see a stand-up comedian, but he just said on his podcast that he did a couple of shows in Houston, and he's like, "Yeah, I don't think I'm gonna tour for a couple months."
Yeah,
Mr. Joe Rogan. Yeah, he said it when he was talking to old Hannibal Buress, who also has a new stand-up out on YouTube. It's for free, and it's very interesting.
Yeah, a lot of people were talking about how comedians really lucked out with releasing a special right before the pandemic.
Bert Kreischer's was the first one to get released when everybody got put on lockdown, and his numbers were through the roof.
Yeah. Because everyone and their mom was off of work because we were under lockdown. So who was the other one? This is good. Let's watch
Tom Segura released one shortly after that, 2 weeks
like a week or two later.
Chris D'Elia.
Well, Chris D'Elia is now canceled for hitting on underage girls on the internet. But then so did Pete Wentz, and he's still sticking around. So there's that.
They're all sticking around.
The guy
from Fall Out Boy showing his dick to girls on the internet.
Don't
you remember? Did you ever watch Sex Drive?
Yeah.
Remember in the end when like they're negotiating like, hey, we don't have any money, but we can give you some CDs. And Seth Green's like, oh, yeah, well, we're an Amish community, so we got a whole lot of use for that around here. And they're like, you know, we could do some chores, or we could come back and give you money or something. He's like, chores? We got a lot of chores to do around here. And he's like, oh, wait, no, we got to go. And he's like, I love that picture of your dick on the internet.
Oh, man. Oh,
that was a long story to get to that end point, but you should definitely watch Sex Drive and then watch the unrated version of Sex Drive. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's hilarious. Have you seen it?
Oh, yeah.
The unrated version?
See some Amish titty?
You see some giant dicks, too. It's fucking weird.
Weird is the direction we're going with this now.
Well, you know.
Yep.
You
know, and I was going to say, you talking about Joe Rogan and everything and how he didn't have tickets to his stand-up, how it was a... This was going to be one of Dustin's most successful segues of the year. And then you just started making it about Sex Drive and big dicks. And I was like, yeah, because MMA, because what did we do last night?
Yes, we've had a very exciting 24 hours, I think.
Yeah. You were this close.
I know. I thought about making it, but making the thing, but it did go in a different direction. But, last night we... my birthday's next week, so we decided to celebrate it last night with the UFC fight. Strong card. Prelims were, I think, a little more boring than the last five or six that have been on fight nights and stuff like that.
Certainly.
But main card was good.
I think just watching it with so many people who were casual fans or uninitiated to MMA as a whole, I kind of really started to grasp the... Once you get to the championship level or championship caliber fighters, it's much more of a tactical... Obviously, these dudes are already tougher than nails just to get into the UFC or the higher or the upper echelon of MMA as a whole. And necessarily, you know, the three main cards went a combined the three main fights
15 went, rounds, but
well, combined 14 rounds.
14 because, you know, the one ended in the fourth round.
Yeah.
13.
Sorry
and a half.
For the spoiler if you are waiting 4 days to watch the fights, but
we'll put spoiler on the freaking thing. Yeah. But let me tell you.
But the whole deal of obviously, you know, it's not an exciting gladiator fight like, you know, a Mike Perry would put on or something necessarily, because the dudes at the top five are, they're not going to get knocked out in one round most often than not. It's going to be a war, and it's going to be, they're not making as many mistakes necessarily. So, yeah, the fight nights are a bunch of young, hungry dudes who are trying to make their names for themselves. So they got to go out there, and they've got to go crazy. Like the Jiri guy who fought against Vulcan Ozdemir.
And it's,
he was out there dancing like he was high on methamphetamine. And
yeah,
I mean, hey, he got a stellar knockout that was probably the knockout of the night.
I just kind of want to, like, freaking justice to Reigns. I hate it when I was making this claim earlier. I mean, I know he, outside of the UFC, he's got a pretty solid record. I just can't stand it when, like, guys are that young in the game and they're freaking dancing around and looking like a bunch of morons. If you're, I mean, Anderson Silva didn't really start doing that until, like, 5 years into his career.
I think they strive for that level of swagger in their careers, and they want to be known as the guy who, you know, makes dudes look like fools. Like you're right. Sean O'Malley's, you're obviously Conor McGregor set a good example of that. But it's a matter of, I think, just the way the UFC is right now. It's so much, you're basically your own promoter when you're fighting. So you know, that's why you get some of these dudes saying such jackass things on social media and stuff. It's because they have to create some kind of a persona for themselves. You know, Colby Covington's the greatest example. He's the ultimate WWF heel in UFC. He's just a complete caricature of himself. He had to do that to save his career, and it's obviously proving successful right now, because he's, you know, went from almost being cut to now he's one of the best welterweights on the planet.
Seriously.
And, you know, he didn't necessarily trash talk his way into it, but he, you know, kept trash talking his way up and up and up, and he, you know, created controversy the same way Conor does. The same way Conor does, except Conor probably gets a little bit more legally involved with his controversies with assault and, you know,
throwing fucking
dollies through bus windows
and cutting people's retinas.
Yeah.
I think I did give Sean O'Malley a lot of shit last night, but I think he's, I find his example a little bit different because he's done 4 fights in the UFC now, but he, I guess it's the same exact thing. He came out with that attitude of, I'm the fucking best, and I'm going to show it. And now he's one of the most popular fighters.
Got to believe you're the greatest to be the greatest.
And he's like, he did his 4 fights. He called out everybody he fought against, right? Or did they just hand him whatever? And he's like, I'm done fighting Contender Series people. Let me get a ranked opponent. And I think now he's going to get a ranked opponent.
Well, he is ranked himself. He's fighting Chito Vera, which is, I think they've been going back and forth for a while, but it's going to be a matter of, I think it was the Brendan Schaub's Food Truck Diaries thing where he was talking about, he's like, I'm not ready to go up and fight a top 5 guy yet. I'm not that stupid. I'm going to take my time and I'm going to work my way up the ladder little by little, you know, top 15 guy, top 10 guy. And then I'll start working in there. And then by then it's, you know, striving for championships once you're in top 7, because dudes like Aldo can lose 2 fights and go in there and fight for the belt at whatever 6th or whatever he was in the rankings.
I mean, he actually had one of those 4 rounds, which was, I didn't think he was going to get, I thought it was going to end a lot sooner than it did. Where do you think Masvidal goes from here?
I mean, I think the money fights for him are Colby or, I mean, obviously McGregor, I don't think McGregor would take those fights. But
I don't think McGregor's going
to
take
a fight
against
him. I think he and Colby need to hash out that bad blood, and that needs to happen on the screen. Because Colby will stand up. They'll trade. That'll be an exciting fight, hopefully.
He said him and Colby used to be friends. They fought in the same gym at one point.
No, yeah, they were always training through ATT.
And he's like, he used to stay on my couch and stuff, and then he just completely changed into a different person, and now, you know, there's a lot of bad blood there. So I'm just wondering if he's not going to get another fight against Kamaru Usman, which I think is going to happen.
I think Burns will take the next one because he was already in line for that shot, and he's dominated so far.
I don't know. I don't think Masvidal put up enough of a fight, because, of course, a good striker like Masvidal, of course he landed some good hits. That was all expected. But
I think he more than landed some good hits. He stunned him in a way that Colby Covington couldn't do. And Colby Cut, and I think a camp really has something to do with it.
He's a guy from a higher weight class.
He had to drop 20 pounds in 6 days.
Exactly. So a guy from a higher weight class is obviously going to have a larger frame and be able to strike harder.
He's not from a higher... He fights in welterweight.
He just said that he dropped 20 pounds for this
fight. Because he took the fight on 6 days' notice. He wasn't planning on... He was almost like... Him and Dana White have been in a very public disagreement about payments for the last month and a half, I think. Where he's been calling him out, so he wasn't even expecting to fight until October, but he fights in welterweight.
He actually moved up. He started his career at
He was just sitting on the couch playing video games and eating pizza. That's why he was tore. That's why he had to drop 20 pounds in 6 days. And I honestly think that had a lot to. I don't think he would have been that winded after the second round. He's okay at grappling,
but holding that beast off of you is, you know,
not easy.
Like, that's why it was a measured fight, and it was measured tactically the entire time by Usman. That's why he held him up against the cage, and he was just racking up all those points because he was point fighting, and that's what champions have to do. They, you know, champions realize that, or at least the good champions, you know, John Jones, he holds the center of the octagon. He outlands him. His economy of motion is so high compared to, you know, that's why I think he beat Dominic Reyes, because Dominic Reyes was throwing a million punches, but he was only landing one out of every 15.
Right.
Where John Jones was just defensively way better.
Right.
He was sitting there dodging everything, rolling off punches and stuff, and that's why he won. He put it on him in the fourth and fifth round, third round, you know, that was the arguable toss-up round, but other than that, it was challengers come in, try and destroy the champion in two rounds, and it never happens.
Right.
That was Masvidal in the first round. He was just throwing haymakers and...
But do you think that was his only strategy because he took the fight on 6 days' notice?
Absolutely.
If he had a full camp, you think his conditioning would have... helped maybe give him a little more stamina into the fourth and fifth round because he was pretty much falling asleep. Well, he was pretty much just getting his toes stomped on for fucking 25 minutes, which I think was...
Toes stomped on and getting the shoulder charge or the
shoulder check, and then I guarantee you he's limping on the left leg today.
Oh, for sure.
Because he got a lot of knees to that left leg while he was up against the fence. But I think a full camp... and a little conditioning. I'm not saying, because last night I think there was a misunderstanding. I don't think it'll put him on the same level grappling as Kamaru Usman.
I think
it will help him conditionally to last longer and maybe get some of those big flurries later into the rounds.
Yeah, be able to create scrambles.
Like you were saying about throwing punches, Colby Covington landed a lot of punches, but not all of them were dingers. Whereas Masvidal threw a couple of them where Usman was genuinely stunned.
But that's his fight style. Against Nate, he was just throwing bombs the entire time. Yeah. If someone wants to stand and trade with him, you're probably going to lose.
Right. That's what I'm saying. If he had a full fight, give him a full camp.
But back to what we were talking about, I don't think any of this deserves him a rematch.
I think the fact that he took the fight in general, he already guaranteed himself a rematch.
I mean, maybe down the road, but there's a line of challengers.
He can't tie up the champion of this weight division with a guy who didn't do enough damage, frankly, to stop him from fighting again in 2 months.
He got outstruck, I think it was 260-something to 88. Yeah, he got beat 50-45 on every judge's scorecard. It was
He
didn't do enough to immediately get the rematch.
Like, it's not like he would come in at any kind of an even fight this time. He would be a significant underdog. And it would just be like, all right, well, we just expect Usman to just tactically beat this guy down again and just defend his title again. But there's plenty of other guys in the division that deserve this title shot.
I do think Gilbert Burns would have been a good one. I think him and Gilbert Burns would have been a great fight.
For 6 months.
I can understand that. I just feel like I think Masvidal definitely deserves within the next year to fight Kamaru Usman again, just based on the fact that he lasted 5 rounds. His defense was actually pretty good for, you know, fucking sitting on a couch last week eating pizza to not being put in a compromising position. Or, you know, there's a few times where Kamaru was definitely trying to, he had back control from the wrong side. He was trying to gain control when they were on the ground.
So everyone could see the arm motions that you're going through right now.
No, that's but I'm
expert.
But anyway. Black belt level. He didn't make it easy on Usman to win that fight.
No, of course not. He's a great defensive wrestler.
Usman definitely won, and I think he knew that as the whole thing was going on. But he didn't make it easy for him. He made it difficult. Usman, pretty much the only way he was going to win was, like you said, holding him up against the fence and just kneeing the shit out of him and getting those shoulder strikes and every once. He got, what, 3 takedowns in the whole fight?
I don't think it's fair to say that's the only way that he could have won that fight. He definitely could have beaten him on the ground.
The way that
he did win,
Masvidal was playing it, and the way he defended himself, that was how he won.
Even with a little bit better conditioning, the amount of effort he would have to expend to nullify the fight style that Usman employed last night was hold you up against cage. He would have to constantly be fighting to create the scrambles or to separate distance from him, because Usman's a freak. He's probably the biggest and strongest 170 guy.
I'd love to see either him go up or Adesanya go down and see those
Adesanya
guys.
Adesanya ain't going down. He's already a rail.
I'd like to see those guys.
Why do you want to see people changing weight classes so much?
First of all, it's 10 pounds.
Super fights.
They're physically like at their peak in usually the weight class that they start in.
Well, a lot of these guys walk around 30 pounds, 20 to 30 pounds heavier, too.
Well, that's because everybody walks around with a lot of body fat and water weight.
But then
when they do go through all the conditioning, then they do drop those 15, 20 pounds to get into their weight class where they're at peak fighting condition.
Those dudes are fucking freaks. And to see them fight each other, I think, would be huge.
But Usman going up would be the more logical.
I think Usman would beat Adesanya.
What my argument is that it wouldn't be as good of a fight as you think, because if you change both of these guys, if one or the other goes outside of their weight class, it's not the same freakish guy, because you've now changed all of his metrics about how he fights, his speed to power ratio and everything.
Conor McGregor,
like
he did
that.
It. Who else is it?
Daniel
Cormier had two
like
belts.
Conor
McGregor did it.
Jose Aldo just went back down
and has been getting. He's got 3 losses now at 135. Arguably, only 2 losses.
You're
going to
tell me that age has nothing to do with that? And just a better class of fighter when he went back down to the division that he dominated for years?
I think, yeah, him being so long in the tooth in MMA has definitely helped his opponents have much more film on him to just go, all right, well, I know exactly what he's going to do. Jan was blocking his body shots all the time, and that's his bread and butter. Mm-hmm. He destroys people to the body, and then he gasses them out, and then he just puts it on him, and he gets his finishes.
Jan did it to him.
Yeah.
He got it that first round, punched all the air out of him. But Amanda Nunes goes up and down, and she, like, that's, I think, the mark. I don't think it's the mark of a good champion, but it's a mark of a good champion to say, like, she goes up and down and just dominates anybody who comes in her way. She's holding 2 weight class belts.
It's a mark of a very smart, tactical fighter. Yeah, but
and strength.
I'm just saying that not every single... What?
She's just outpowering.
I was about
everybody.
To say, Nunez is an outlier in this argument because she is a freak.
What? But
she's got more power than anybody she's going against, with the exception of Cyborg.
Like, I was literally
she was obviously
like,
a cleaner.
Yeah, but no.
Much cleaner striking.
I'm sorry. My mind was already thinking of defense on that one.
But I
think it's a good thing for fighters to go up and down in weight class because it...
I guess I disagree, because when you look at certain champions and things like that, they have certain metrics that make them so good at their weight class, whether it's like their, like I said, size to strength ratio and shit like that, speed to weight ratio. When you end up bulking them up by 15 pounds, they lose some of their speed, and with some fighters, that's what makes them great. Then when they go down a weight class, they just have to cut a bunch of weight, and that takes away this legendary power that was their winning component when they would throw bombs in fights and things like that. That's why I think that if you were to take some of these champions and make Usman go up, he wouldn't be able to have the same speed with the strength that he has now.
He's not really known for speed, though. I don't think he's a tactical fighter.
Oh, no, he was quick. When a lot of those takedowns were happening and stuff, when he was attempting a lot of takedowns.
You're not going to do too many takedowns on Israel Adesanya, though.
He'll hold him up against a cage the same way, though.
Yeah.
Especially if you just put on 15 to 20 pounds, making you a lot slower to attempt those takedowns. That's all I'm trying to say.
I think it's going to be easier for him to... Because he's probably going to put on 15 to 20 pounds when he leaves. So it's just the same camp, just you don't have to make the weight cut just before the fight.
So why wouldn't he already fight at that weight?
No fighter does.
Well, nobody in the UFC does.
No one in the UFC does.
Exactly.
You cut 10 pounds off your body weight and 10 to 20 pounds and you just... You know, you're giving yourself every advantage you can. It's simple.
But that's exactly it. So why would somebody want to fight at a weight class that doesn't give them every advantage that they can?
I think, honestly, he would do just fine.
Okay.
Because arguably, it's also 185. Let's say he walks around at 195. he's not going to go put on 15 to 20 pounds just to make that weight cut the same that what he would be going for in 170. Let's say he walks around at 195, only having to cut 10 pounds, wouldn't be that hard for him. He could water weight cut without, you know, and still have 9% extra body fat or whatever.
I was
going
to say, he might not have to walk into the sauna.
Yeah, like he could do his initial water cut and he'd be fine.
It's not that easy.
What?
Yeah, I mean, he's not just going to take a poop and lose 10 pounds. But
right, I'm just
still,
saying. It's not going to be as intense as what Masvidal had to do
but
in
it's
6 days.
Usman grew up being a wrestler. Wrestlers grow up weight cutting. They cut weight when they're 12 years old.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Imagine what we were all doing when we were 12 years old. We were drinking 4 cans of soda a day and eating fried food 3 times a day. It didn't matter. We weren't worried about that.
Right.
Yeah. Actually having to cut that weight, they're used to it their entire lives.
Mm-hmm. That's understandable. So we had that going for us. That was a pretty solid fight. We had a bunch of great beer, knocked out a bunch of pizzas, and then I made this guy wake up at what time did you end up waking up?
I woke up at like 8 a.m.
Yeah, I was gonna say fine. You actually woke up before I went out there because I thought you guys would still be sleeping. Then I heard you talking, so I put some clothes on. But I had him watch
it. Decent of you.
His first Formula One race.
It was just
this
a loincloth.
Yeah, when I sat like with my legs open so. If you had the right angle, it was very unfortunate.
The loincloth, he was wearing it sideways, though, like gun holster, so it covered nothing.
Yeah, pretty much.
So you wear a loincloth, little pockets on the sides instead.
But yeah, I had him watch his first Formula One, his first Formula One race. I almost said fight. What'd you think?
Cars went around a track. It was cool.
Right?
Yeah,
because they had left and right turns. So
that was interesting.
Right?
I'll tell you, there's a lot of... It was a very interesting race, to say the least. It was supposed to rain. It ended up not raining. Everybody was surprised.
Ooh.
And Lewis Hamilton got the pole. He got pole, and then he won for the first time in... I know, it sounds awful. For the first time in that circuit since 2016. So it was pretty solid. And then we went ahead and made some breakfast and prepared for this. But
yeah,
chance I get to mention Formula One, I'm going to take it.
You're happy with it.
I am. I love Formula One.
Just failed on that preparation a little bit there.
Just
the most crucial piece of hardware left out today.
Well, yeah. I think the big part was that neither of you were really interested in Formula One. So I'm by myself on that one. But back to the MMA part real quick. So both of you guys have experience, at least training, one of you actually an amateur fight in the octagon. We were talking about, you know, you going back and forth from Bradenton to Orlando, and you were saying, like, mentally going through that training and stuff like that, you feel like it's like a perfect healthy release to get, like, the negativity out for the week and stuff like that and what you have going on. And then
for sure with any, I think, extreme forms of exercise, you know, whether it be the people who do triathlons, people who do CrossFit, or, you know, whatever, just people who work out hard in general, it's, you know, kill all your energy off at the beginning of the day. You just don't give a shit about the little things in life that would otherwise stress you out when you're all cooped up and not doing anything.
Right. Yeah, I think that's an important thing. Like Joe Rogan mentioned it a lot about mental health and how working out for him is like his release and stuff like that. So that's something I kind of wanted to talk about with you guys because you work out. Well, I don't know what your regimen's been since we've been on.
Yeah, it hasn't really been anything regular now.
But you were hitting the gym at least 5 days a week.
Yeah, 5 to 6.
Yeah.
Something I enjoy.
I heard your gym's leaving.
Yeah, they're not opening back up.
That's very upsetting.
It is.
I wonder what they're going to put there.
See, I can't deal with people that only pay $10 a month for a gym because then they just don't care about the place that they go.
That's understandable.
And then it's just a shit environment.
Nobody cleans it, anything up after they use anything?
Yeah, and it's just a lot of the time $10 a month for a gym is... hate to say it, but they usually don't have a lot of the more vast range of equipment that you'd want to get a varied workout on different days. Like, call them starter gyms.
Yeah.
It's a good place to start and kind of do a 4 to 5 exercise workout. You
get
know,
your free donut or free slice of pizza or whatever
yeah,
the hell
you know,
it is.
Bagel
Planet
Mondays,
Fitness does.
You know?
Fun.
Yeah. It's great. But, hey, I mean... maybe it's fair to say that if your gym has purple as one of the predominant colors on it, it's
probably not a good place to go.
Probably a childish gym.
You should come over to Fitness Central Florida.
Yeah?
Yeah. They got a plethora of equipment and machines to use. I know a guy.
Yeah?
Yeah. Get you in there.
Where's that?
Well, it's on Sand Lake, so it's a drive.
Nah, I'm good.
Yeah, I figured as much.
Nah.
I guess it's 24-hour fitness for you. Or no,
well, technically it's a mile north. It's Turkey Lake.
Oh, yeah, there Turkey Lake and Sand Lake.
You know, Dustin, to Dustin, that's actually across the street.
Yeah.
Give or take. Technically, I was right because you had to cross the street to get there and go up.
So is Harry Buffalo's across the street from here?
Yes, it's on the other side of the street.
Yeah, it is. That's not wrong.
Thank you.
Good Lord.
Semantics, man.
Now you all see what I deal with.
Or here.
Yep.
One or the other.
Dude, I'm just across the street. 408 or I-4?
Yeah. No, he's like, yeah, man, you can just hit the Target that's like right across the street when you're on your way over.
It was across the street.
And it's like, dude, I don't even drive by it on the way to where you are.
You do. But you get off at I-4 right next to it. You drive right by the Target, and then a mile and a half later, there's the place where we were supposed to be.
When did Target stop doing Super Targets?
They just built one in like where the outlets are, premium outlets are.
And what's super about it?
Oh, because they have a grocery store. Regular Targets don't have a grocery store.
It's a neighborhood super market.
Very
of a Target.
Few regular Targets.
I thought all Targets had a grocery store.
I think they do now.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, if they have a grocery store and a pharmacy, then it's a Super Target.
Probably had to keep up with Walmart because there's no. Well, there.
Well, millennials love Target.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
It's like $5 more than Walmart and. Probably just as ethical, but nobody really pays attention to that.
They don't carry Massimo anymore, which is kind of sad, but.
Ugh. Really?
I know, right? They carry some other crap. It's all good, though, you know? Still $6 V-necks.
They literally just made up a clothing brand and just ran with it for like 10 years. Right? And then just annexed
it. It's like, you know what? We got to change this up. People are thinking we're.
It's funny because Hannibal Buress was just talking about that, too. He's like, I got to get out of these V-necks. So as I leave the Massimo section at Target, I love how that came in. But anyway, back to the training thing. So, you said you were doing like a month of just trying to do free trials at different gyms.
Yeah.
At different fighting ones. Did
Being
you hit
freegan.
This one here?
Yeah. Definitely.
American Combat
Club?
Yeah, 2 weeks of free training at like every gym in Orlando, pretty much.
Yeah, I remember when you said you were
great.
Doing that.
Yeah.
His email is igetfreestuff.
At gmail.com.
So that's what he uses. He uses it to sign up for places so he can get a bunch of free shit.
Yeah.
That works.
Then you just cancel it.
This is my favorite time of year because I actually get, like, this is when I start getting emails for free shit. I just got a free race at K1 go-karts.
Yeah. We still have those coupons for,
I
one of those indoor karting places.
Let's go get
wallet.
Kicked out again?
Yeah.
No, we...
Wait, you weren't there with us, were you?
He wasn't.
No, I wasn't there when you guys got kicked out.
We
Dustin were. And I were there, and some guy went through one of the barricades and hit one of the light poles in there and, like, shorted something out, and the whole building lost power for, like,
awesome.
15 minutes, and they were like, well, guys, we're clearly not going to fix this anytime soon. If you guys would all like to make a line at the front entrance, we'll give everybody a free race coupon, and y'all can just get the fuck out. Like...
That was hilarious. Yeah, we actually caused a nice little accident.
Oh, my God.
Well, and I went through the
one
line.
One cart went
like,
up on top
of
another. It was amazing.
It was hilarious.
What'd you guys do to get kicked out?
One cart went on top of another. And pretty much we went three wide.
Tell them what led up to this, because...
Huh?
Tell them what led up to it, because that might have been a factor.
Well, we were drinking.
Yeah.
Drinking
they went to brunch.
Okay. Yeah, we went
and
to
I was
brunch.
The bartender.
That's what it was. It was one of those brunch and then karting outings.
But, yeah. I mean, we were all... Nobody was racing, like, belligerently.
No.
And so we went around a corner and went three wide, and there was another...
Three wide through a three wide cart crack.
Right. And there was another left turn, so everybody was slowing down. This one lady got scared, and then she got sandwiched, and somehow her car... She hit the brakes and went up on top of your car. Steven.
No. So that
it
was...
It was Steve.
Because it was the couple... And then the woman from the couple was just lollygagging around.
Yeah.
And I think it was you, Dan, Steve, and I were all jockeying for position. And we were aggressively, like, pedal to the metal around every corner, like, drifting.
They should not
screeching.
Show you your times while you're racing. Because
exactly.
It makes you way more competitive.
Oh, absolutely.
It makes you competitive against yourself.
I know for a fact I had faster laps than what they were showing, though. I think their technology's
bullshit.
A little
behind. They were throwing
dude, we could take
on
this
it.
To the track right now. I will take you on right now.
Nah.
I knew you'd say
you're
that.
You're 6 feet away
can
in the car, so I think it'd be all right.
APEX.
But yeah, huh? This woman is just dragging.
I've been slimming down, cutting weight for the last 3 months on quarantine. I think I can take you.
He's carrying less curb weight.
In a kart race?
Yeah.
That's adorable.
Absolutely.
That's adorable.
Please, your hair would be flopping in your eyes, and you'd end up hitting the guardrails, bouncing back and forth.
No, he puts a head condom on.
I'll put it up.
Yeah.
I got this.
How many feet do you use?
Are
just
you kidding
one?
This is the only sport I have a chance in beating you in. You better believe that I've been paying attention, okay?
If you slip the guy $20 and you're like, which one has the most kick out of all the carts out there? You got to put me in that one.
I'm not going to do that. I got you. I think I could take you.
We all know we did that at Fun Spot. When it was pretty dead and you were basically like hopping off the track and just jumping back into line again just because he made you do the formality of going through the exit and running back in the entrance line, and you're like, dude, I'm the only person here for the last 5 races. Which cart's the fastest? Yeah. I know you know.
Something.
You work here. Is it number 54? Tell me now.
Here, hold this stopwatch and fucking watch.
You're just like, look, because you get in one every once in a while, and you're like, this is just slow as shit.
Yeah.
You're flooring it, and it's just slugging along. I feel like this would be racing you, though.
You watch some 8-year-old drive past you like, dude, you don't even have a license.
Yep.
Dude, I like the slick track they have at Fun Spot. I've only been to Fun Spot one time, but they got that slick track that you can hit and do a little bit of, get a little
drifting
around the corner there.
I went to one of those that actually had one of the drifting tracks.
Yeah.
And that was pretty fun.
They did get a little fun.
I tell you.
I'm not into the culture, but the drifting is fun.
No?
There's
you don't like a 2000 Honda Accord dumped out? And
it's
just
an S2000 Honda.
S2000.
And a Honda S2000 hitting those corners. I've never been into the drift racing. They have it on ESPN now, too.
Little Mitsubishi Eclipse.
Yeah. Huh? Well, now they use newer cars, but Hoonigan.
Yeah. Oh,
it's the Hoonigan is the affliction for cars.
Car people.
It is.
Oh, man. Gymkhana is the other one.
But I'll make this jump. Speaking of branding and everything, Space Force on Netflix.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Rivaling with Donald Trump's Space Force.
Which is hilarious.
Shout out to Jared. Yeah. Trying to join up, huh, Jared?
Yeah, Jared might be joining up to the Space Force. I told him he's going to raise his kids on the space station.
You think being in the Air Force gives you a leg up on everybody to be in the Space Force?
Well, it's one. I think it does. I think it does, yeah. But I actually haven't even seen the show, but I hear it's pretty good.
Yeah, I haven't
seen
it yet.
It's a little bit of a
slow
takeoff from what I hear, which all good shows are.
To be honest, that's the same thing I heard about that. You know, it was Steve Carell, a little bit wordy.
First season of Game of Thrones?
I'll take him as
president. First season of Game of Thrones?
It's a trudge to get through that.
It is. The first 3 episodes, which is like the first 3 hours.
Right. It's like fuck,
are
man.
You're basically just like, so who the fuck is that guy again?
Why is he important?
Yeah. Why do I care?
Yeah.
And then 7 episodes later, you're like, kill his fucking ass. Get him.
Yeah.
Yep.
I hate him.
It's great.
No. And instead, your favorite character dies and you're just done with the show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's funny how...
And then if you make it past that, you're good to go.
If they win those lawsuits, I think it's like, it'll be hilarious. So like Guinness, their symbol is the harp.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's facing the right way. I could be wrong.
Oh, God.
The national symbol of Ireland was a harp facing the right way. Guinness sued the country of Ireland, where Guinness comes from, and won. So now the Ireland symbol is a harp facing the left.
Huh.
They're still conservative Irish people. Just like, I'm not dropping my flag.
It's so ridiculous to think that a harp facing in one direction is worth all of that.
Yeah. Or just that a beer company could sue a country.
Right.
And reverse that.
They have like a million-year lease on their building, too.
Jesus.
Yeah. So, like, they did it right.
End of time lease.
Yeah, pretty much. Their beer doesn't even last that long. their beer won't last that long.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But
I think it's pretty funny, though.
They're jockeying for copyrights and websites and everything like that.
They're winning, I think, though.
Yeah.
Or they have a leg up in the situation.
I hope they do.
I hope they do,
hilarious.
Too. Just for the hilarity of
it. If it just has to be like spaceforce2.com for Donald Trump's Space Force, you know?
Trump's legal team is... probably sweating right now.
Dude, they've been sweating since he jumped on. Since they jumped on the old team.
Yep.
It's going to be a good one. Well, what are we sitting at, young Ty? 50
minutes.
50 minutes? What you think? Good podcast?
Yeah. I think it came out good.
We doing this next week?
Yeah.
I think we should.
Yeah.
Yeah, same time.
Sure.
Perfect. Number 27 in the books.
Number 27.
Perfect. We made it. We're going to try to be a little more consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do these things once every 2 months at this point.
Pretty much, yeah. It's been a rough couple of weeks, but we made it through.
We were kind of falling off there, but now we're back.
We miss you guys as much as you missed us.
Yep.
Well, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And Drewskis.
New little talk.
And we'll see you next week.
Have a good night.